Friends, if you'll remain standing, and if you can put your hands on a Bible, if you brought one, that's great. You find one on your phone or other device, so there's Bibles in the pews right in front of you as well. Let's prepare to open our hearts to hear from God's Word. Before we get to that, two things. One, I think some of you in the back have already seen, Maitre Jordan is here sporting a brand new hip. Maitre is one of our unofficial heroes, or mine anyway, so I'm thrilled to see her here. The second thing is, we prepare to read the 23rd Psalm, the Psalm that proclaims God is our shepherd. I think it's important for us to take a moment and ask for the presence of that shepherd, that good shepherd, to be known to the people of Israel. In these, so let's just pause for a moment before we hear from the Lord. God, we're thankful for those from that first covenant to whom you revealed your name and your nature. We're thankful for the beginning of their faith, that we receive full formed in and through Jesus the Messiah. Father, today, for all who would call Israel their people, all who would call Israel their home, we ask that you would shepherd them and protect them, lead them in ways of wisdom, in ways of hope. Our prayers we offer in the name of the one who's revealed himself as the Good Shepherd, Jesus. Amen. From the 23rd Psalm. Several people told me last week they had heard the 23rd Psalm, that they had never heard this 23rd Psalm, because we hear it in the old King James in our minds, right? We've heard it maybe dozens of times. Hear it in the New International Version. And let the differences, instead of distracting you, let the differences cause you to think more deeply and hear more deeply what God wants to communicate to you today about his nature and his heart. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then turning to the New Testament, to John's Gospel, one verse in the long discourse where Jesus speaks to his disciples and those who were hearing about his nature as the good shepherd. Jesus says this in John 10:27, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Let's pray together. Gracious God, we love you, and we know we cannot live by bread, by human nourishment alone. We live by every word that comes to us from your mouth. Open today our ears, our minds, and our hearts that we could receive and live in your living word, who is Jesus. Amen. Amen. You can take a seat. So I Googled this because I wanted to know the answer. Is my phone listening to me? Yes. Yes, Google says it, and it's not just listening to you, it's listening to everyone who may speak near your phone. In fact, I was more curious about this recently because I suddenly started getting ads. You get the ads, right? I think sometimes I just think about something and Google already knows, right, what to send me ads for. I haven't. We've got a wedding in our family this summer, but I haven't done. You know this, y'all. The dad, just, he's kind of over here. I just need to know when and how much. right? That's all. And this is just a son. This is not even a daughter. It's a son. But so just when and how much, that's all I need to write. So I start getting ads on my social media feed, on my just Google feed. I start getting ads for mother of the bride or mother of the groom dresses. Y'all, take a wild guess how many times I've actually searched for mother of the groom dresses. Not that I don't have great interest. I have great interest. Patty will listen to this later, so I have great interest in that. I started getting everything on my social media feed the last week. All the ads have been rehearsal dinner invitations. I didn't know there were so many companies in the wide world that made rehearsal dinner invitations, but they're all now trying to get my attention. And here's why. I looked this up too. Here's why I get the ads, because my Wi-Fi, my IP address at home, I don't even know what IP stands for. Somebody can tell me that later. My Wi-Fi, it thinks all the people that use devices, laptops, phones, whatever, it thinks we're all one person because we're on one network. That's a little bit scary. That means if I search something, it's going to show up in somebody else's feed, right? Just if you hook to my Wi-Fi. The phone's listening. The phone is listening. The phone is listening to you, that Siri or your Google assistant is listening, it implies that speech is important. The ad gurus, the tech companies, they know that. And they sell that information. They know that listening is important, that speech is important. And that's why among all the things Jesus says about his identity, it's the good shepherd. There are many things, and over the course of this month, we're looking at several of them, the way God reveals himself as the good shepherd, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. I want to hone in on this one verse this morning. Jesus says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. In the 23rd Psalm, we saw hints of that already. If the shepherd is leading you in paths of righteousness, if he's guiding you through that valley of darkness, the valley of the shadow, then there's some way. It's not just the rod and the staff. His voice is leading with direction and with movement. That's what we talked about last week. This idea that there's always movement involved in following the good shepherd. "But my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me." Let's just pause at the beginning. My sheep hear my voice. That assumes this. It assumes that he does indeed speak and that he does have a voice that is distinguishable, that is discernible. He speaks. He speaks. Margaret Feinberg wrote a book several years ago called Scouting the Divine. She was fascinated with the many agricultural type metaphors in the Bible. Honey, grain, and bread, bread as provision, and then one of those, the sheep, the shepherd. And so she made friends. She didn't know anyone who was an actual shepherd. And so she made friends with a couple, Lynn and Tom. Lynn and Tom had given up a busy and successful Southern California lifestyle, moved to a farm in Western Oregon, and among other animals that they gathered there on their farm, they began with one and then two and then a dozen and then two dozen sheep. And so Feinberg went and spent weeks at a time with an actual shepherd, with Lynn, the actual shepherdess. And one of the things that she discovered was that the voice of the shepherd, the voice of the one caring, was perhaps the most important thing about that shepherd-sheep relationship. When she walked out as a newcomer, a visitor to the field, the flocks would ignore her. She could call, even if the shepherdess told them the names of the sheep, she could call the sheep Swan and Piaget and all the different names, the creative names that the shepherdess had given these sheep. She could call the names and the sheep would simply stand there. They wouldn't respond. Why? Because it was not a voice. Hers was not a voice that they knew, a voice that had a track record of reliability, a voice that was tied to nourishment and to care. So even today in the 21st century, for men and women engaged in shepherding, there is still a very real direct relationship between sheep and shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. You know, in the Bible, there are multiple times where there are descriptions of groups of shepherds who bring their sheep, especially to water together. They find a spring, there's an oasis, there's a well. And all the sheep, the sheep mix in with one another. They don't know to keep separate. The sheep mix in with one another while they're seeking out water. But then at the end of the watering time, all the shepherd has to do is raise his voice, speak his voice, begin to call names, and the sheep will separate. They know they may be other sheep. They know there may be other shepherds, but they know with clarity the voice of their one shepherd. This may need a little more attention in the 21st century to make this jump, but because we may not have the assumption that God really speaks and that the shepherd's voice can be heard and properly discerned. But that's where I want to go next. If the shepherd, so grant that to me, even if you're not yet in a place where you've believed, where you've trusted in God, if you're on a place of seeking, of searching, if this seems like a little bit of a stretch too early in the message, hold with me for a minute. Suspend your disbelief and consider. My sheep listen to my voice. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. They hear. So let's grant that he speaks and assume that he speaks. But if he speaks, that's another leap, isn't it? If he speaks, that we can hear. Oh, if it were as clear, right? If the voice registered at the same decibel level as the physical shepherd speaking to the physical sheep, wouldn't that be so great? So how do we hear? Can we hear? How do we hear? First thing, let's go back to the very first line. Jesus says, "My sheep." There's a key right at the beginning that helps us on the journey of hearing. My sheep hear my voice. My sheep. Big caveat, all people can hear from God. All people can hear from God. The Bible tells us that. Whether people are actively following God or are far from God, people who are walking away from God or resisting Him, the Bible gives us evidence that God can speak in ways that are discernible and understandable by all people, because He's always in the business of drawing people to Himself. In theological terms, put on your hat for a second. This is your $5 theological lesson for the day. In Wesleyan theological terms, we call this prevenient grace. It's grace that comes before, grace that comes before the moment of your salvation or your conversion, the moment where you become aware of God coming into your life or speaking into your life. God's grace is going before you. It's grace that is always pursuing you. This grace is at the very heart of the Good Shepherd image, I believe, because it's that grace that motivates the Good Shepherd to walk away from the 99 who are safe in the fold and always pursue, not simply leave the lost sheep to his or her own devices, but to pursue. To woo, even, to draw that sheep back into the fold. So there's a caveat. All people can hear from God, but Jesus is very clear at this point. My sheep, the fact that he says my sheep assumes that there are some sheep that are his and some that are not yet his in a specific sense. Yes, all people belong to God. But at some point there is a divide, not so much a dividing line. We're too quick in 21st century America to draw dividing lines and say, I'm on this side and you're on that side. And usually, let's be honest, we draw the line with ourselves on the good side. And so if we're talking about my sheep, we're going to be on the side. And it's somebody else. It's not so much a dividing line as it is a dividing arrow. Which direction are you moving? Not so much a dividing line, but hear me, a dividing arrow. Because you know this. You can only hear a person well if you're facing in the right direction or moving in the right direction with them. That may be one of the hardest things about marriage that no one ever warned you about before you got married. I think it's the second hardest thing about marriage is that you'll find that there are two people in two different rooms of the house trying to talk to one another. Hey, honey, could you bring me the... What? I can't hear. And so you get up and you go there and it's like, oh, did you bring me the whatever? No, I didn't hear what I was supposed to bring and I'm already here, right? So two people in different rooms trying to talk to one another. The only thing harder than that is that if you're walking in different directions trying to talk, right? You've got your hands full. You're walking to the car. Oh, babe, by the way, before you come, bring this with. And nobody can hear you because you're moving that direction and they're moving this direction. Somebody should tell you that before you get married. If you're going to talk, be in the same room. If you're going to talk, be in the same room. Be walking the same direction together. It's so much easier. It's so much easier. Jesus says, my sheep. John in his gospel gave us a clue in the very first chapter. He gave us a clue in the very first chapter as he described what was going to happen as Jesus came into the world. John writes in chapter 1, verse 9, he says, the true light that gives light to every person was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He might have said, though the world heard him, they did not listen to him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all, notice the invitation is suddenly wide. He came to his own, but those who were his own didn't receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, there's the arrow. To those who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent or of human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God. Friends, hear that right at this moment. My sheep hear my voice. Here's a, I don't know, can you have an invitation in the middle of a sermon that's supposed to come at the end? Can we pause for a moment? And you hear that there is an opportunity to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born of God. So pause for a moment. Ask God this simple question, if you're uncertain. Am I your sheep? And maybe if you're clear and he's clear, the next step is to say, God, I want to receive you. I want to believe in your name. I want to know that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, truly did lay his life down, not for all the sheep, yes, for all the sheep, but for me. And I want to believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus was raised from the dead. And I want to be saved. Remember a caveat, all people can hear from God. All people can hear from God, but those he's identified as his sheep, those who have identified you, who have identified yourself as his sheep, That's who he's inviting right now. My sheep hear my voice. How to discern? There's the question. How to discern? There's so many noises in our world. We laugh about our cell phones and the noises they create. How to discern the true voice of God? Discerning the voice of God can be a dangerous thing. A couple of months ago, we had as a guest in one of our Sunday morning groups, Dr. Harry Cesar, an engineering professor at Georgia Southern. He's a person of Kurdish descent, born in southeastern Turkey to a nomadic shepherding family. He had some great insights, even from 20th century, 21st century shepherds that apply to God's call, to God's self-revelation as the good shepherd. He talked to us about what it meant to have goats and sheep in the same flock. There's the dividing line, right? Goats and sheep. And it's true in that case. Goats are really clever, he said. Goats always know where the grass is. They don't have to depend on the voice of the shepherd. Goats are more agile. They can climb the side of a mountain. They could find grass when there's no grass to be found. And here's what's dangerous in that. Here's what's dangerous in that. The sheep, instead of following the shepherd, will sometimes follow the goat. Hold on to that for a second. The sheep, instead of following the shepherd, will sometimes follow the goat. And you may say, well, you know, aren't sheep dumb? I've heard that myself, that sheep are dumb animals, that they're foolish animals, they're stupid animals. Lynn, the shepherdess in Margaret Feinberg's book, Lynn says that's really not true. And that reveals the heart of the shepherd, doesn't it? No shepherd would assume its sheep are dumb. The sheep aren't dumb, Lynn says. The sheep are simply dependent and defenseless. Those are her words. The sheep are dependent and defenseless. And that may be the best reminder for ourselves. Maybe you'd make some decisions that would make you condemn yourself and say, well, I'm dumb. Why did I do that? Why? You may not be dumb. You may be dumb. I don't know. But you're probably not dumb. But you're really not dumb. But you are defenseless without your shepherd. And you are dependent. More dependent than you may want to admit. Because sheep are not made to live in a world apart from a relationship with a shepherd. And you, dear ones, are not made to live in a world apart from a relationship with the good shepherd. You're simply not made for it. Creation assumes. Creation assumes. And so those goats will take sheep into dangerous places if the sheep are not carefully hearing and heeding the shepherd's voice. And we know that. Hearing is hard, y'all. Hearing is hard. We know that in our human relationships. Hearing is hard because we live in a noisy world. You know, I stand out here long enough before church and you're checking, some of y'all, you're checking in kids at the cart and... I mean, I remember young moms, young dads, what that was like. I mean, there is like no moment to yourself. There is always a person to care for and to tend to. And their needs, they are completely dependent on you. And it's so hard. And you may think, can I do this? Can I get them through elementary school or middle school or high school? Can I do this? I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you, that may be the moment when you can hear most clearly. Because you're in that place of seeing someone who depends on you and see yourself in that same way before God. Every time somebody sports a fit or a little tantrum, ask yourself, how many times, God, have I pulled a tantrum? And you've had to quiet me. Learn to listen. Learn to listen, even in the midst of those kind of moments of daily lives. If you're hard at work and you've got clients on you and you've got supervisors on you, you've got goals on you, and that's the noise that sort of fills your ear, take a deep breath. And realize, yes, you were created. You and I were created. Genesis tells us we were created for fruitfulness and for authority over the world to build and to do and to achieve. But not at the risk, but not at the cost of deafening our voices to the voice of the, or deafening our ears to the voice that's most interested in us. Maybe you're an older adult with different kinds of demands and distress. Or maybe you're a young adult, emerging adult. And you've got so many decisions ahead of you right now. College, career, relationships. And y'all, here's what I'll tell you. The world is discipling you. The world is trying to speak to you and clutter up your ability to hear. One of the words I love best, it's kind of popular now, is the word curated. You see, blogs or curated blogs or influencers curate the products that you need, or curated playlists or newsletters. I like that word, curated. It's choosing the best of the best. I wonder if the Good Shepherd might invite us to curate our listening, to decide what we really are going to hear and pay attention to, and to rank order those things so that we're not captivated by noise or captivated by what's the most urgent, so that we can curate our listening to hear the voice that is most important for us. And it may not just be the noise. It may be that we tune in to try to hear Jesus and he's not saying what we expected him to say. And so that's a challenge that prevents us from hearing. Maybe he's saying something we're resistant to hearing. Maybe like Sam mentioned earlier before we sang, "It is well with my soul." Maybe our lives have been overcome by the waves of loss, and we're so overwhelmed, or maybe we're mired in shame. That was the case for Adam and Eve, our first parents. Genesis 3:8 says, "The man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day." See, God was preparing to speak to them. And the Bible says they hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden, but the Lord called to the man, "Where are you?" And the man said, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." That's the nature of shame. It's not the same as guilt. Shame, guilt we can deal with. The answer to guilt is forgiveness. Shame is hiding. Shame is when we know that God knows and we know that God sees, and yet we've decided that we won't bring any of that to him. And we do things that double down on our own shame. We think that sometimes, here I am, pastor in church, sometimes we embrace religion as a pathway out of shame. We think we can do enough good, say enough prayers, do our penance, and we can outweigh the bad. But that just distances us further and further from God. So we end up distracting ourselves, numbing ourselves with any sorts of addictive behaviors. When what we truly need is life. When what we truly need is life. And that's what Jesus wants to speak. Jesus says the thief, it's the enemy of the shepherd. Jesus says the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus says, but I've come that you would have life and have it to the full, have it in abundance. There are only really a few voices that we hear. We hear our own voice. We hear the voices of other people. We hear the voice, we can hear, discern the voice of the enemy sometimes that pursues us to lead us astray. And then the voice of God. There are really only a few options. Scripture, I know I'm hitting the time here. Scripture is the best way, I'll say that. Scripture is the best way to attune, to curate your ability to listen so that you'll be able to distinguish what's your voice or someone else's voice from what's really God's voice. Scripture is the most reliable way to train yourself. Finally, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. They follow me. Y'all, do you get that? We don't read scripture. We don't ask to hear the voice of the shepherd. We don't hear it just for information. We don't even hear it. Hear this carefully. We don't even hear it just for inspiration. Like, oh, I need a little boost at the beginning of my day to get me through. Sometimes that's what we need. Okay, I'll bless that. But ultimately, it's not just for a little boost of mood that God wants to speak to you. It's for implementation, not for information but for implementation, so that you would hear Him and that you would live out, embody that to which He's inviting you. I'll tell on myself. I'm prone to make decisions. I'm prone to make decisions quickly. You know, when you've been at something for a long time, you think you know all the things. And so you just kind of make decisions quickly. And I was surprised regular reading of Scripture. It's a story in 1 Samuel 9 about a guy named Saul, who was one of the first kings of Israel. And this is before he was the king, and it's a story that kind of prefigures his story. Saul is out with his servant. He's lost some donkeys. I mean, right, you've been there. You've lost your donkeys, right? Or you face some sort of dilemma, and you're just hard at work trying to solve it. Saul and his servant, they've been out for days and days and days looking for the donkeys, and they don't want to go back to Dad and say, Dad, we couldn't find the donkeys. And they're going, and Saul literally is about to give up and go home, and his servant, not the important character in the story, just someone on the side, the servant says, hey, we're right here at this village, and there's a man of God there. We should go visit with him and inquire of God. That's kind of a setup for all of Saul's story as a king, because he ends up being a really bad king because he never consults God. He just does things in his own strength. He does things quickly and passionately. He goes his own way, and God has to later find a different king. But it's the servant. Let's come. Let's come. That's what I heard God helping me with. Is let's always come like the servant. Not the one that knows the answers, but let's come as the servant and hear the voice of God saying, let's go to Him. Let's go to God. Let's hear from Him, because He's a good shepherd. He knows me better than I know myself. Let me follow Him. Let me follow Him with all my heart. So maybe, friends, today you want to just have this moment as we come together to sing. You just want to say, I want to be the sheep. I want to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. And I want to follow Him. Let's pray together. Gracious God, give us the grace to stop and say, we are Your sheep. We are dependent and defenseless. And that we depend on Your voice to give us life and strength and hope and direction. Help us to tune our hearts, to tune our ears, to hear You above all other. And to know that You are the path to life in this world and in the next. Through Jesus we pray. Amen.